This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. In physics, many theories remain just that, theories, until someone comes up with a way to test them. In 1934, physicists Gregory Bright and John Archibald Wheeler came up with one of those theories. It explained how light could be turned into matter. Now, it was a great idea, but they never thought that it would be experimentally proven. Of course, you know, scientists can't resist a challenge like that, and it may take a little bit of time, but this week researchers published a method in Nature Photonics that outlines a photon-photon collider, a device that could produce matter from light. Will anyone build and test it? Edward Hill is co-author of that paper, research associate in plasma physics at the Blackett Laboratory at the Imperial College in London. Welcome to Science Friday.
Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. Is this directly trying to prove what Einstein called E equals MC squared, the equivalence of energy and matter?
Well, I think it's certainly a very graphic demonstration. I mean, when we manage to show it, that is. Yeah. It will be a very graphic demonstration of energy going directly into matter. I mean, photons, obviously not having mass, they are just energy,
right.
And that is then being converted into massive particles and entirely. So yes, it is a very graphic demonstration of something which I'm sure that we're very happy is true in general, though. So
So describe what the device is, and first of all, explain if people have been fooling around with lasers for decades, right? Don't lasers put out light, which are photons? I mean, why not just shine one laser into another and have them collide that way and see what comes out?
So the fundamental reason why you can't just do it with two lasers pointing just directly into each other is that you need to have the product of the energies of the photons becoming larger than a number which is essentially the square of the amount of energy which is associated with the mass of an electron, which is quite a lot of energy relative to the energy of a photon in a laser. Now, there are ways in which you can get around that, and to explain that, we have to go back 20 years, where there was an experiment which was performed at SLAC, the Linear Collider in Stanford, which did, well, it did do partially using a laser and a gamma ray beam in order to produce light, matter from light, using that. But what it was that they were doing was they were, instead of just colliding two photons together, they were colliding several photons from the laser with a gamma ray, which is in a way different to what it is that we're proposing to do, where you have merely two photons colliding together.
All right, so tell us what you're doing. Let's get right into that. Tell us what your experiment proposes.
So what it is that we're proposing is we're proposing to firstly create a bath of X-rays. So the way that we do that is we get a very high power laser. I mean, it's what we call a long pulse laser, but in reality we're talking something that lasts for a few billionths of a second. So we take that laser and we fire it into a small gold can, so a can that's about a centimetre long, half a centimetre wide, with its ends cut off. We fire the lasers into there, and they put a huge amount of energy into that very small space. Now, you can imagine when you're standing in front of a fire or something like that, that's at a few hundred degrees centigrade, and you can feel the infrared photons coming off it. You can feel the radiation heating you up. Now, we're raising the inside of that can up to a few million degrees centigrade, so you're getting, firstly, many more photons, and secondly, each of the individual photons has by itself significantly more energy. So once we've done that, then we've created, if you like, a target of photons. We've got this can with a cloud of photons within it. What we then do is we take an even shorter laser, so a laser that lasts about a millionth of a second, so about 1,000 times shorter, and smash that into a gas jet that creates a beam of electrons, which we then, using a gold foil and a well-established process for doing this, essentially change that into being a beam of gamma rays. So we end up with a nicely collimated beam of gamma rays, which we then point into that cloud of X-rays, that cloud of photons that we've got inside the little gold can, and that's where it is that then the Bright-Wheeler process happens. The gamma rays come in, they collide with one of those X-ray photons, and an electron and positron come flying out of the back of that can, which we can then detect them and obviously try and have a look at what we've got.
So you've got energy, you have energy gamma rays going in and out, coming out, you have matter in the form of electrons and positrons. So how hard is it to build this little device?
Well, I mean, partially that will obviously remain to be seen as we go ahead with trying to get the experiment done. But in theory, it is eminently doable. So the facilities to do this, and this is part of what I think is quite exciting about work at the moment, is that this isn't just a prediction of, you know, 10, 20 years in the future we might be able to do this. The facilities which can do this exist at the moment, facilities which have that short pulse laser, the long pulse laser, and experimental teams with experience in creating the electron beams and creating the hole around the can with the photons in and so on. All of this exists and everything's essentially ready to go. We're currently looking for people to perform the experiment, basically. We're very keen to see what happens.
Got any volunteers? Yeah, who want to do it?
We have some interested parties. Let's put it that way. But
is it an expensive thing to do? Could you just knock this off? You know, on a weekend, somebody with the right equipment.
No, I mean you're talking semi-national scale facilities. I mean we're not talking quite at the size of, you know, a one in the world facility like the LHC or something like that. We're talking, you know, lasers in the US that could do it. We're talking between 5 and 10. There's a couple in the UK that can do it. There's one in Japan, for example. You know, we're looking at, and as you say, I mean, money-wise, these lasers cost serious money to run, to maintain, to use, and so on. So,
So is it possible you could make any matter that would last a while, you know, that you could touch or feel or show or photograph or something like that?
So the particles that we're making last for a long time. I mean, so the electrons that we're creating, well, so they're coming out of the back of this hole realm in a beam of electrons and positrons. You can then stick a magnetic field across that and it'll split them into a clump of electrons and a clump of positrons. The positrons will want to annihilate with electrons, which are obviously making up most of the matter that's around them. But as long as you keep them away from other bits of matter, both those electrons and the positrons are perfectly stable. You know, you could trap them in some sort of electrostatic trap or something like that and look at them and investigate their properties. I mean, their properties would be the same as other electron and positron that you found. They are real particles. They're not virtual or anything like that.
Yeah, well, you couldn't see them. Or maybe they show up as tracks, but you couldn't see them. Put them in a jar and put them on exhibit anywhere.
Yes, there's not very many of them coming out. We're talking, even with optimal experimental parameters, we're looking at maybe 10,000 of them. And, I mean, they're very small, so no, in short.
Well, you know, we'll take any offers. If anybody wants to offer their lab, you know, we reach a lot of laboratories around the world. So if anybody's got some spare collider time or experimenter time that they want to volunteer.
We would be very glad to hear from them. So,
once you turn it on, it just is over in a split second then, right? Does the beam keep going for a while?
So literally fractions of a second. So the heating up the whole realm up to temperature takes about 3 billionths of a second, 4 billionths of a second, something like that. And then the beam of gamma rays that's coming in is lasting. So it's about 10 femtoseconds that it's lasting, and the electron positron beam has a corresponding duration. Mm-hmm. I mean, it isn't a continuous source of electrons and positrons, and it's certainly not the most plentiful source of electrons and positrons. I mean, there are far better ways of producing electrons and positrons if you just want some to look at or what have you. I mean, it's very much of interest because of being a demonstration of the one of the very basic processes of quantum electrodynamics. Yeah, I think that's the main point.
Yeah, you're not trying to prove anything. You already know about the equivalence of matter and energy. You just have a very nice little demonstration of it, is what you're saying.
Exactly, and it has a certain pleasantness in that there's seven of these very basic quantum electrodynamics processes. All of the others were seen over 80 years ago, So it's nice to complete the collection basically and make it so that we've collected all of them and really made ourselves happy that they're there. So
what was the genesis of the Bright Wheeler idea? Were they challenged? Did somebody say, "Hey, could you prove this? Can you come up with why did they come up with the theory?"
So around that sort of time was sort of early mid 1930s. It was around the time when there was a great blossoming in using quantum mechanics, and I think that the reason why they ended up looking at it was to do with Dirac annihilation. So that's when you take an electron and a positron and annihilate them to get two photons. So it's the exact opposite of what it is that we're talking about doing here, and that's it's significantly easier to do. There's nothing that positrons like better than annihilating with electrons. So that was seen back in the mid-1930s. And I think, this is certainly what I thought anyway, is that they were building on that sort of idea. There were a lot of different bits up for grabs at that point, these basic processes that you could investigate, and they got in there and worked out things like the cross-section for it occurring and what properties the electrons and positrons produced would have, so what energies they come off at and things like that. They did all the working out that.
Well, Dr. Hill, we wish you the best of luck in finding a lab that will help you work on this. And
great. Thank you very much for having me.
We'd like to see it happen too, and if and when it does, we'll have you back on. You can talk about the results. How about that? Is that a deal?
Lovely. That is a deal, yes.
Okay. Edward Hill is Research Associate in Plasma Physics at the Blackett Laboratory at the Imperial College London in London in the UK.